We begin every day at Evan's house with morning prayer, and I invite you to join me for morning prayer at Evan's house. In that time, we read a psalm and a lesson as appointed in the Book of Common Prayer, and we pray prayers for morning prayer, and we pray. We pray with Anglicans throughout the world in the Anglican cycle of prayer. We pray for the Sudan, our desperately poverty-stricken and war-torn companion province in Africa. We pray for the diocese of Bradford, our companion diocese in England, and we pray for the congregations and leaders of the Diocese of Southwestern Virginia. Today is your prayer day. You are being prayed for in every congregation in the diocese today, and you will continue to be prayed for all week at Evan's house and throughout the diocese. For there is no such thing as a Christian alone. There is no such thing as a congregation alone. We are baptized into the body of Christ, and we support and uphold each other in our lives in Christ together with prayer. I've very much been looking forward to this visitation to St. John's. I love this congregation. I'm so impressed with your temporary worship space. And this is just stunning. Everybody else has told you that, so I'll just add to it. It's just a stunning arrangement. And I love what you're doing with the nave and sanctuary, and I cannot wait to see it completed. I check every Friday online to see how the construction is going. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we heard a preview of Palm Sunday and Holy Week activities, events, worship. And let me tell you a story. This is a true story. Let me, before I begin, say that many preachers have been given a gift. And that is, as they preach, eyelids grow heavy. So feel free to sit back, slip off your shoes, loosen your tie, and if your eyelids grow heavy, it is a gift. In 4th century Jerusalem, in the 4th century in Jerusalem, there lived a bishop named Cyril. The bishop, the mayor, the chamber of commerce, the chief of police had a problem on their hands. Too many tourists, otherwise known as pilgrims. From the time of the very first anniversary of the first Easter, pilgrims would gather in Jerusalem to celebrate Easter. Over the years, the number of pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem for Easter had grown. In addition, the churches worldwide had recently agreed on a common method for calculating the date for Easter, the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. And this common agreed dating of Easter ensured that there would be even greater crowds for Easter. Travel was, as we say, primitive, and pilgrims would often arrive early. Certainly by the Sunday before Easter, the crowds were growing quite large. Now, if you have a lot of people, virtually all men, milling around with nothing to do for days on end, you have a prescription for trouble. So Cyril took this problem as a challenge, came up with an idea and a program. Somehow in my imagination, I see a young Cyril learning his management skills attending the Paplin School of Business at Virginia Tech, where no doubt he gained the skills so he could handle the situation. Beginning on the Sunday before Easter, Cyril would gather all the pilgrims in one place for prayers and the singing of psalms. And then there would be a great procession to one of the sites associated with the final days of Jesus' life, where they would have more prayers and more psalms and more singing and more worship. All of the readings were appropriate for the time and the place. Each day would focus on a different event. Sunday focused on Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Thursday, the Last Supper, the washing of the feet, the institution of the Eucharist. Friday, the arrest, trial, way of the cross, and crucifixion. Then on Saturday, starting at sundown, everyone would gather together in one place and long psalms would be sung, long passages from the Old Testament read, extensive prayers all night long, leading up to sunrise on Sunday morning when everyone would cry, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." As the pilgrims returned home, they would tell their friends all about what a great time they had in Jerusalem for Easter and how powerful and moving the experience was. Before long, local versions of the practices in Jerusalem were being instituted. Parenthetically, the great Palm Sunday hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, which virtually everyone will sing, was written by Bishop Theodore of Orléans in the year 820 while looking through the bars of his jail cell, the bishop in jail, watching the children take part in the Palm Sunday procession through the city. Apparently, the emperor was not impressed by the bishop's leadership skills. The 1979 Book of Common Prayer was heavily influenced by the work of Cyril of Jerusalem. Prior to 1979, Holy Week services were modest. We begin Holy Week next Sunday with Palm Sunday and continue through Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, culminating with Easter at the Easter Vigil and Easter Day. When we participate in the events of Holy Week, we are spiritually and in some ways literally joined to Christians in Jerusalem and throughout the world observing Holy Week. Not only that, we are joined to all Christians who have gone before in their observations of Holy Week. And we are joined to the very events being recalled. And we are spiritually and literally joined to all Christians yet to come observing Holy Week until the very end of time. As you begin your Holy Week journey toward Easter next Sunday, I encourage you to pick, starting next Sunday, pick one figure in the story, maybe Mary or one of the other women or one of the other disciples or Peter or one of the guards or Pilate or a member of the crowd. Choose one and meditate on that one character throughout the week. Always asking yourself, where do I fit in the picture? What role do I take in the passion of Jesus? I assure you that this simple meditation will lead to a richer and deeper understanding of Easter. And finally, my friends in Christ, finally, never forget, all of this is because God loves you more than you can ask or begin to imagine. Amen.
Amen.